Christian greetings to each one. I'd like to take our Christian hymnals and turn to page 307. Sometimes we wonder by what way will we be given entrance into heaven, and I believe that this is what it is. This is the wedding garment is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's stand, why don't we, as we sing this, 307. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear, for he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I over you, chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, who have rejected, who have refused. Oh, sinner, hasten. Compassion, oh, boundless love, Jesus of power, Jesus is true. All who believe are saved from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. I will pass over you when I see the blood. I will pass over you.
You see this? To look, you want to follow along with us over in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelations. as I was thinking about the scripture and sort of about what all is taking place, I thought it seemed to me like how quickly that things are shaping up around us. He said, when you see these things taking place, then you know that the time is at hand. And another place he said, lift up your eyes and look, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so I believe things are really shaping up around us, and I'd like to read particularly here in the last part of Revelations here, starting with the 19th chapter. And as we look at these things, in this chapter particularly, speaks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you remember the scripture back in the Gospels that spoke of the one man that was there, but he didn't have the wedding garment on. And he said, why? Why don't you have the wedding garment on? There was no excuse. There was no reason. It was his choice and the results of that. But I'd like for you to just think of that scripture that just applies to every one of us. If we can ask the Lord as we look down through the scripture in Psalms 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And this scripture is a very personal scripture. It doesn't say, search the one that's sitting next to me or the one that's sitting across the aisle and try them, see if there's any wicked way in them. But it just puts it right on us. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Not what people see just on the outside, but know my heart and try me and know my thoughts, my thought life, what I'm thinking about. And see if there's any wicked way, if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then I believe we'll have a spiritual hunger if we're right before the Lord that will make us long for the time when we can be together with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelations 19, with starting with the first verse. I believe we'll just bow our heads and pray before we read the scripture. Father, we come again before thee this morning thankful for the merits of Jesus' precious blood. We're thankful that we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, that we can be cleansed from every sin and every stain, and can have the white wedding garments on. And Lord, on this time, this day that is an examination day, we pray that every one of us will be open before God, and that we might realize, Lord, that the great examination day is just around the corner, that it's coming up quicker than what any of us will know. And we pray, Lord, as we take this time is set aside to think about where we stand before the Lord, we pray that thou will help us each one to be honest before God and realize how little we are, how insignificant we are, and that all of our righteousnesses as filthy rags. But Lord, we pray that thou will help us to give of our very best to the Master and to hold nothing back. We just pray that thou will take the word of God and apply it to our hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, that we might be open and honest and yielded to thy holy will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying,
Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt, and the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of her servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And I don't profess to know all the types and shadows in through the scripture, especially in the book of Revelation. We can look at it in different ways. But I believe that when he speaks about judging this great whore, that the apostate church system around the world, everything that's ungodly and unlike God, is a part of that. That apostate church. And he said that he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Just in the chapter before, one, that last verse of the last of that chapter before, it said, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And all down through the years, the saints of God have given their lives, and they've been martyrs, real martyrs, those that have been a holy people that were willing to come out and be separate from the world and turn their backs on the flesh and the devil. They were those that were a holy people. They were a godly people. And they've been persecuted. That's why we can read about in the Martyr's Mirror, all back through the scriptures. There's a book also called the Fox Book of Martyrs that tell about those godly people that were willing to pay whatever price it took to be a real Christian. And, you know, it's the real Christians that's going to be ready on that great examination day when the eyes of God will search them through and through and know their hearts and know their thoughts and their motives and everything about them. Every one of us, we're included in that great judgment day when we'll stand before God. And if ever there's a time that we want to be sure that everything is clear, it's when we leave this world, and we don't know when that's going to take place. But God has judged the apostate system. He's judged the apostate nominal churches of the day that have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. God has judged them, and he will judge them, and they will come to, there will be an end. Sometimes people think about the many, many, many hundreds and thousands of people that are dying, even in the day we're living in. An explosion took place here and 50 people went out into eternity just like that because someone became a suicide bomber and ran in among them and blowed themselves up and killed all the other people. And the one was deceived into thinking that if he would get rid of these, what he would call apostates or whatever, that he would go straight to heaven and he'd have all kinds of rewards. And his eyes open in eternity and he meets the ones that he sent out into eternity through his awful deed. And over here it happens, and over here it happens, and it happens closer around us. The wickedness is all around us, and we don't want to get used to it. We don't want to get used to these awful things, awful immorality, the awful crime, the things that people view on TVs and just all different ways. We don't want to get used to it. But he said, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For truth and righteousness are his judgments. Truth and righteousness are his judgments. If you love the truth, you don't have to worry about being ready when Jesus comes again. If you love the truth, the Bible tells us, don't sell it. Don't sell it. Don't trade it for anything. The pearl of great price, Jesus, is that wonderful pearl. And the way of salvation and the truth will make us free and make us a real new creature in Christ Jesus. The truth won't stoop to let us join something that is not holy and righteous before God. And that's what salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For truth and righteousness are his judgments. For he judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. She went away from the one that was true, committed spiritual adultery, and joined up with the world. That people have known better days spiritually, and they've allowed themselves to leak out, and as was mentioned already earlier, as far as that neglecting so great a salvation, how are they going to escape? All you've got to do is just neglect and fail to take time to read and to pray and to love to read and to love to pray and fellowship with the Lord all day long as you go about your work and whatever you're doing. And if you neglect so great a salvation, the scripture says that, you know, how shall we escape? We are so busy. We're too busy. And again, they said, hallelujah. And listen to the results of it to anybody that doesn't believe in a Bible. Hell that will last forever. He says here, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And you'll find that several places through Revelations, that this was forever and ever. And if you read the word for in the Greek, says into the ages of the ages, except the problem is eternity. It can't even be accounted in ages or time, but it just means it just goes on and on, and we can't describe it. But that which is just nominal Christianity, apostate Christianity, that's which is just a form but rejects the power therein, is going to not stand when we stand before the Almighty God. Because his way of salvation was pure and holy and real, and there was no varnish on it. It's true all the way through. And he won't allow for anything but what has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Having the wedding garment on, ready when the call goes out to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb and to be with him throughout all eternity. The 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. That was really wonderful, I think, here. He says, tells them what to do, all his servants, small and great. And then I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, and the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I believe though that was the blood-washed throng that they responded when they were told to praise the Lord, that their voices were lifted in praise to the Lord God omnipotent, who reigneth. And he is still in charge today. He's allowing us this time to make some choices. Choose this day whatever you want to choose, it's up to you. You have to make the choice which way you're going to go. If you want to take the popular way of the wide road that leads down to destruction, that's your opportunity. If you want to take the way that leads home and take the narrow way, that's your privilege too. And he's given us that opportunity, but let me say, he is the high and lofty one. He is the Almighty God whose flaming eyes are searching throughout the earth and looking for those that love him. And if you love the Lord, God will stay right beside you, and when you can go through trials and tribulations and things that would knock a person clear out of the race, if it wasn't for the hand of Almighty, the powerful arm of God. I'm glad the arms of God can be underneath us when we go through those times. He will protect his people. He will keep them under the shelter of his wings like an old mother hen does her chicks. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage supper of the Lamb is come. And listen to these next few words. And his wife hath made herself ready. She's not trying to cut corners with God. She's not trying to slip by and get by the easiest way out. She's looking for another home. She's looking to leave this world behind. One of these days she's going to say, "Goodbye, old world. I'm done. It's all over." And she's going to a place of purity and holiness, a place where there are no lies, there's no stealing, there's no contention, but a place of perfect peace and a place of perfect rest. And we can be a part of the bride of Christ, every single one of us here today. If we sense that there's something in our heart or anything, that if we're too busy, if we've neglected so great a salvation, we can change things by the grace of God, by simply yielding our will to God and yielding ourselves to him and allowing nothing to come between our soul and the Savior. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine, white, clean, fine linen, white, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. She's not ashamed to be one of God's little ones. She's not ashamed to be a part of the bride of Christ. There are some people that don't want to really stand out. When the iniquities abounding all around us and the love of many is waxing cold, and the temptation is to just don't want to be too different. And when the unclean jokes are said, you know, maybe just a little smile, but you don't want to stand out too much. But God's people are willing to take a stand and come out from among them, the world, the flesh, the devil, all of that, and be counted as a part of the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ has been washed in the blood of the Lamb and has the white robes of righteousness on and waiting as one of the wise five virgins waited for the call to be made. And finally the midnight hour came and the call went out. Go out to meet him. And they were ready. And they went out. And the other said, "Give us some of your oil. Give us some of your oil. We need some of what you have. We don't have enough. You know, we have a profession. We have some type of religion. We have this and we have that. But all those excuses will not stand in the day of judgment. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said he fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto him, "See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True and Righteousness, and he doth judge and make wars. What do you think it's going to be like when all these people that are mighty, strong, leaders of this country, leaders of that country, and powerful down here in this world, and all of a sudden the sky rolls back like a parchment, and from the east Jesus descends, and however he comes, the scripture tells us that he went in the clouds and he's coming back in the clouds. And he's coming with a great multitude of saints, I believe. And the ones that were here that passed away are going to be caught up to be with him. And we're going to be caught up in the air together to be with him. And that's a wonderful thing for the saints of God to think about. But it's a horrible thing for those that are not right with God and have played fast and loose with him. It says he's riding on a white horse. He said his name was faithful and true in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. God has no respect of persons, does he? He has no partiality with God whatsoever. It didn't matter what our name was or our background or where we stand in the business world today, all of those things, but oh, he's looking for someone with a pure, holy heart that's humble before him, that's not pushing themselves to the front, that's not seeking self-esteem, but seeking God esteem and confidence in God and no confidence in the flesh. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of Almighty God. You remember Pilate said when Jesus stood before him, he said, "Why don't you answer me? Why don't you talk? I have power to put you to death. I have power to crucify you." Jesus said you could have no power but that it was given you. And here before him was the ruler of the universe. If he could only realize who was standing before him, Pilate would have probably completely fell flat from fear. But he did not. And even the words of Jesus when he spoke to Pilate and told him what was some things that was going to happen, grasped him. Pilate's wife had the dream, and she said, "Don't have anything to do with this just man." And he was afraid, and he tried to wash his hands and say, "I'm innocent from the blood of this just man." But that wasn't good enough. We can go through the forms to try to get ourselves released from the guilt, but it's the blood of Jesus is the only thing that will cleanse us from all sin. And yet the blood is available to every one of us here today, every one, young and old, all of us. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, and whosoever will may come. We can come to the fountain and we can be made clean. But we can't come with our selfishness. We can't come with our stubbornness. We can't come with our own wills and way. Those things have to be completely put down, and we have to come God's way. When we come God's way, the work will be done in our heart that we couldn't do for ourselves and nobody else could do for us, and you can't do with committees and all kinds of other things. The heart will be changed and we'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He wasn't voted into this job. He wasn't put into this job because that he was the son of some king. But he is the Son of God. And he is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. And I saw an angel standing in the heaven, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. If you're not on the Lord's side, you're on the side that has arrayed itself to make war against God. If you're a part of the apostate church system and not all the way right with God, you're a part of the Antichrist system that is pulling against God and is resisting him. And notice what he says. I just thought some of these things fell into place as we see things that are just happening all around the country. Wouldn't it be something if we could say, okay, you know, this is fulfilled in the scripture here. What does it mean about the great whore back there and the kings of the earth looking on when great mystery Babylon fell, and oh, and one day she fell, her greatness and all these things, they were bemoaning it and wondering about it. But it's not for us to go say, okay, well, this is this nation and this is that nation. We just know that all the things that look so established and so strong, all of a sudden one of these days it's coming to an end. And all of their strength is going to be taken from them, and they're going to have nothing left. They're going to be naked before the Lord and with nothing, no excuses whatsoever. Well, he says in that 20th verse, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I can explain a lot of that, but all I know is I don't want to be a part of that system, that when it comes to the end, that God is against it. I want to be on the Lord's side. What about you? You know, some things we will never know until we get over on the other side, just exactly what he means. But we have here before us everything, shows us the way to heaven, shows us how to walk, and gives us the courage and the strength from him to be faithful Christians. Now, I'd like for you to think in this next chapter, I'd like to look at when the great judgment was set. And it's almost like that we've been told what's going to happen in the end time. And he said, when you see these things taking place, a great falling away, knowledge being increased, people running here and there, all kinds of things like that. When you see these things come into place, you know it's just about there. And it's almost like we have a great stage. The world is a great stage. And on the world, that stage is being set up, and you can see it. You can look at the scripture and you can see these things taking place. The stage is all being set for the curtains to be pulled back and everything to happen exactly like what God said it would. Now, notice what it says here. I'm going to start with in chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years a lot of times is reckoned a large amount of time, and we can't
place a time on it. I know the scriptures in Revelation, it seems like, are laid out. There's different, there's the seals, there's the trumpets, there are all the different things laid out in sets of seven. And if you'll read in through Revelation, it'll start off, and when you get on up around the sixth, either seal or trumpet or whatever it's talking about, you will notice that the end of time is taking place. And then that last day, 6 days here on this earth, that last day, I believe, is an eternal either day or eternal night. And what he's saying right here, he said, if you take part, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. And if we've properly prepared in this little lifespan that we have, and this is part of it this morning, as we ask God to search our hearts again, try the reins of our heart, help us to be truthful and help us to be honest and realize that we're nothing, and the very best that we can do falls far below what it should, but that we're depending on God and what he's done for us and the precious blood of Jesus. And as we allow God, the Holy Spirit, to shine down into our lives and let it be judged by the Word of God, then we can be sure that we're standing on the rock, Christ Jesus, that our salvation is not on men's whims or emotions, but it's solidly on the rock that will not fail. It's built on the rock, Christ Jesus, that our sins have been confessed and repented of, and we've turned away from our ungodliness, and we hate the world, we hate those things like that, and we love God with all of our heart. Well, he says then, the second death doesn't have any power on that kind of a person. They don't have to worry about an endless night, but they can look forward to an endless day. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then I want to look down to verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So we don't have to try to avenge ourselves. God has promised that he will avenge us of what people have done. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. There you have it again. The devil, the false prophet, the beast, cast into that lake of fire and tormented forever and forever and forever and forever. No more tempter. No one accuser of the brethren. No more of those things will be found. And he said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And I tell you, that is the great examination day. That is the great judgment day, when God's books, which are completely perfect and no error in them at all, it's what Jesus was saying to the disciples. Don't just rejoice because the devils are subject to you, because you have power to heal in these things, but that your names are written in heaven. And I tell you, if our names are written in heaven, we don't need to worry about anything else. But we just need to be sure that we keep our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That last great day will show. He said, the book was opened, and the book of life, and the dead were judged. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. The
and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So it's not just what we say, but like James said, you show me your faith, I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, if you really have that faith in Jesus, if your faith is in the blood of Jesus, it's going to change your whole life. It's going to change your countenance. It's going to change your moods. It's going to change the way you act one to another. It's going to make you a complete different person. It's just amazing to see the change of God when He works in our hearts. And the last verse that I'm going to read here in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is one more verse I want to read for the Christians, the saints of God. In that next chapter, he says in verse 6, he said unto me, it is done. It's all over. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst. Are you thirsty this morning for more of what God has for you? Are you thirsty spiritually? Do you long for more of what God can give you? He says, to the ones that are athirst, of the fountain of the water of life freely, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Thank the Lord. It's all in the hands of the Lord, and it depends on you and I being the pliable clay in the Master's hands. Let's kneel in prayer.